All right, welcome back. We start hour number three. My name is Jim Rome. You are in the jungle. Coming up at 40 past this hour, Keanu Neal, a safety for the Atlanta Falcons. And between now and then, we have plenty of time to cover a number of things. We start you off with your telephone number. Remember, this is a getaway week for me. I'd love to hear from you this week because I'm going to be off the next 2 weeks for some summer vacay. 1-800-636-8686. You never know what you're going to get when you call. Like, you might get Sonny. Hey, Sonny, you do not get a golden ticket. However, you do get to never call this show again after that call. So you get that. You have that going for you, which is nice. Program's brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, you have your telephone number. You know to find me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Go ahead and do that, please. Follow me on Twitter. Hit me up on my Instagram feed at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. And the phone lines are lit. Only one line is open right now. Use it if you want to. So the list of former professional athletes who called a career, who ultimately wind down in Scottsdale for a second life of high quality, easy retirement living, value-based investments, it's endless. I mean, so many athletes end up in Scottsdale. So many. They just generally do not end up there at age 27. Enter Johnny Manziel, a.k.a. Johnny Football, a.k.a. Johnny Car Insurance, a.k.a. Johnny Double ARP, a.k.a. Johnny Idiot Face. A man now single-handedly responsible for bringing down the median age of the 480. You know, like, the ballad of Johnny Manziel is nothing more than a lesson in gravity. What goes up must come down. And Manziel has been on the back half of that equation for quite some time. Heisman Trophy winner and one of the most electric college football players I've ever seen. That to first-round NFL draft pick, to cut by the Browns, to be kicked out of the CFL, to be embarrassed in the defunct AAF, to slinging discount car insurance, to shunned by the XFL, to divorced, to literally falling backwards off a cliff 7 weeks ago on Instagram. And then you throw in a bunch of legal problems, a public Twitter spat with his pop, an ill-fated mid-season run to Vegas as Billy Manziel, and you've pretty much got the entire Wikipedia page on this guy. And from the second the Browns called this dude's name back in 2014, I mean, it has been a free fall. You ever have that dream where you're just falling? It's like one of the most famous dreams. Like, we all have that dream. We are just falling. That dream where you're just in a free fall. Well, that's Manziel's real life. That's not a dream. And that free fall has landed him in Scottsdale 3 years before his 30th birthday and about three decades before the typical former pro athlete character arc. Because a couple of days back, there was an interview in the Lubbock Journal. And it got some run nationally because John seemed to finally arrive at a conclusion that the rest of us arrived at 5 years back when he described his football career as, quote, in the past, probably, end quote. Well, he sure as hell got the first three words of that right. In the past. In the past is more accurate than any ball he's ever thrown post-A&M. Like, I don't know how else you describe a career that lived on TMZ and nowhere else for the past couple of years. But I am fascinated by his use of the word probably. Either the definition of the word probably was changed without me knowing, or John Manziel doesn't know what the word probably means, because there's nothing probable about his career being over. It's definite. It's been that way for quite some time. You don't even need to make it official with any kind of retirement. Although you kind of did that, right, when you moved to Scottsdale and told the Lubbock Journal that you're playing golf 6 days a week. Golf 6 days a week. There are three types of people that can get out and hit it around six times a week. One, tour pros. Two, old dudes cashing a pension check who belong to a club 2 minutes from their house. And three, MJ. Those are the three types that play golf 6 days a week. And that's it. Playing golf 6 days a week as a 27-year-old without a tour card in Scottsdale, Arizona isn't awesome. Sounds great, but it's not awesome. It's more of an admission that literally nothing in your life is happening right now. Like, most people are looking for that special kind of nothing after they've done something. And yet, you did do something in college. Except you're not even 30, and not even close. So you're not supposed to fast forward to being an old dude desert rat. Golf guy at the age of 27. No, you're supposed to have a second career. The only golf guy at 27, and not because you can, because I'm not really sure how that guy can. I haven't gotten to that part of it yet. But if you're playing 6 days a week and you're a golf guy at 27, then you should be PGA Tour pro guy. Meantime, John Golf also told the paper that he didn't put the time in to be a great football player and that he just doesn't know if his heart was in it. Man, my man is having all sorts of epiphanies out there under the sun. First, he figures out that his football career may officially be over, probably. And now he's owning up to, yeah, you know, I just didn't put the work in. A couple of more rounds of golf, and he might realize that he should not have gone to Vegas before a Week 17 game under the alias of Billy. Disguised. Hey, listen, man, part of me is pulling for this guy. Like, I'm not rooting against the guy. I mean, he did a couple of deplorable things also off the field. But I kind of hope Johnny Golf figures out a second act, as I would anybody who's that confused at age 27. I mean, I do. I want everybody in this life to be happy and healthy. I'm not here to hate at all. Like, I want everybody to be happy and healthy. But semi-retiring in the retirement capital of the world to play golf 6 days a week at the age of 27 ain't that. And telling a paper that your football career, quote, is probably over, while still selling comeback season shirts off your Instagram bio, ain't it either.
Johnny idiot face.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably over. In fact, I'd say it's definitely over. Dude, you're in Scottsdale playing golf 6 days a week. It's over. Dude, you're 27, not 87. Dude, you're like a 27-year-old guy from Texas. You're not an 87-year-old guy from Calgary.
I'm Johnny Manziel.
The hell are you doing in the desert playing golf 6 days a week? And before you tell me, it's like, hey, man, Rome, you always say it yourself. Why does anybody do anything? Because they can. Can he? I mean, I guess he is. I'm not sure how he's funding that. I don't think the discount car insurance can afford you a lifestyle like that.
I'm Johnny Manziel, ex-pro football player and direct auto insurance spokesperson. I know what it's like. Not know where your next paycheck is coming from.
There you go. But you can still hit it and still tee it up 6 days a week in Scottsdale. And there are some nice tracks in Scottsdale. Hey, man. I guess. 1-800-636-8686. Still, man, how would you like, unless you're like just filthy, 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 disgustingly rich, and even then, how would you like to wake up every single morning at the age of 27 and not have any idea what you're going to do, not the rest of your life, but even that day, other than 18 or maybe 36? It's a lot of years left, brah. What are you going to do with the rest of your life if you're probably not playing any more football? Dear Jim, listen closely. Before Tiger says, "Not in my swing," you can hear Ian Poultry unloading a wet fart. Hit it, Alvy.
Not in my swing.
Drew in West LA. Not on my show, Drew. Not on my show, Drew. Not on my platform, Drew.
Not in my swing.
Not on my brand, Drew.
Come not on, in Alvy. My swing.
Mailman Casey tweets, "Will Sonny get back on the radio again?" Maybe, but I doubt it.
Maybe. I doubt it.
Like I said, good news, bad news, Sonny. Bad news, you did not get that golden ticket you so covet. Good news, you do get to never appear on this show ever again. Rome, my forecast is no more sunny days. Signed, Dallas Raines. Yeah, I think that's safe to say that's the last we're going to hear of Sonny in quite some time. That's not the last he's going to call, but that'll be the last we hear of him in quite some time. All right, so let me just kind of reboot this thing, reset this thing, do better. You know this. 1-800-636-8686. I'm trying to give you all a chance. Jay Cutler, that's the second person who called up and said, well, not the second, but the second piece of evidence that peanut butter should be bait to try to trap that critter. Hawk went to the source, Ray at Binks Lodge, and said, yep, I did tell Cutler, use peanut butter. And then somebody called from Appleton and said he's got a family of raccoons in his backyard, and animal control came by, and they're trying to relocate that family, but they're trying to relocate that family by getting them to show up with peanut butter. So what's the best bait? Man, I'm the ultimate city guy. I don't know jack about jack when it comes to things like that. Which is kind of weird because I did own a home in Montana. I do own a home in Wisconsin now. Like, I'm a city guy. It's got no idea. But I do live in the hills now, in the suburbs, and we did have a raccoon. Benny and Wisco's in. Benny and Wisco tweets, will Johnny finally learn to fix those divots? Damn, Benjamin. You too, Benny. Jeff in SoCal is back. He quotes or tweets, Scottsdale pops off though, Jimmy. That's true, it does. Scottsdale's nice. I love Scottsdale. That's a good town. It does pop off. Sonny in Toronto. Sonny in Toronto tweets, can I still listen at least? Yes, Sonny. My man, you can listen. I cannot stop you from listening. In fact, I would encourage you to listen. Sonny, I don't want to say never. I don't want to react that way like a younger me would have broke you off and not even heard an appeal. I'm going to say you just need a break. You need a break from calling. I'm not going to say never. I'm not going to drop a ban for life on you. I'm going to say you're banned for right now. So yes, lay out, listen, think about what you did. Think about the bad spot you put me in. Think about the call that I'm going to have to take from the suits now for letting you on. Think about that and ask yourself why. Romy, some might say that confusing Asia with Europe makes him hip to be square. Regards, Bruce Springsteen. It's hip to be square. That's a good point, Geoff. I see what you did there. For a guy like you, Geoff, that's pretty complicated. You're right. That'd be like comparing Huey Lewis to Bruce Springsteen. Man, that Huey Lewis sucks. That is such a bad band. Yeah, Rit, I said it. Oh, man. Rit damn near had an aneurysm over that. That hurts. Rit, you literally have the worst taste in everything, man. That hurts? Did you just say that? Huey Lewis rules is what Rit just said to me. Huey Lewis rules. Yeah, sorry, NoCal. Sorry to once again get on the wrong side of you. But it's just, it's bad, man. It sucks. Saying something sucks is not a take. I know. I don't want to be a hypocrite and contradict myself. But man, Huey Lewis in the news sucks. Bad music. Bad era. Even Geoff knows that. But Rit doesn't. Damn, Rit. The more I know about you, Rit, the less I respect about you. Dude, you're going to war? That's the hill you want to die on? The Huey Lewis hill? Damn, dude. Like, that's not a reason to go, but that is a reason for you to go. That's terrible. You have your telephone number, and I've got another open segment. I still want to talk about ODB. So word worked its way back to ODB that because Cam Newton is now a member of the Pats, and because the two of those guys did work out, that everybody thinks that now it's logical that ODB would go to the Pats because, well, they're boys, and they worked out together, therefore it must be a package deal. ODB says not really. I'll hit that when we come back. You know where to find me. Big day for Wisconsin. A lot of Wisconsin react on the program, which is good because I will be in that great state next week. For 2 weeks, no less. Alvy is in the house.
Here, dude.
I'm going to tape Andre Iguodala right after the show. That's going to show up as a podcast tomorrow. Stay tuned, and we will come right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Of all the things for Ritt to get support on, and he is getting some backing on Huey Lewis. Y'all entitled to your opinion, no matter how terrible it is, no matter how wrong you are. I understand that that's very subjective. Music, musical taste, what you like, who am I to say? I'm just saying, I know what I'm talking about, and I'm right, and you're wrong. And if you're backing Ritt on anything, you're wrong. 1-800-636-8686. And really quickly, before I go back to the phones, I do want to talk about ODB. Because you knew this would happen. The second you saw footage of free agent Cam Newton and Odell Beckham Jr. working out together in the offseason, that everybody... I'll take a glass of water. No, that'll happen. I'm fine. I'm good. All right. So, hey, a little snack during the break. So, look, if you do this 30 years, at some point, that will happen. If you thought that there was going to be a Mama Cass moment there, it did not happen. What I was saying was, when you see Cam Newton and Odell Beckham Jr. work out together in the offseason, once you saw that, everybody was going to link the two of them together once Newton signed with a new team. So, this is inevitable. We knew this was going to happen. ODB is a lightning rod for speculation. So when these guys get together to do a little route work, many start to think, yeah, it's the start of some grand plan. The two of these guys are going to join forces and somehow end up together. As soon as Cam ends up somewhere, because we know he will, ODB will not be far behind. I mean, look at them. They're working out together, right? In reality, what that was, obviously, were a couple of friends getting their work in. And no, it's not a slight at Beckham's quarterback, Baker Mayfield. That's not what that is either. Yeah, but the gossip, right? The gossip is so much more fun than the reality for so many people. So when the news not only breaks about Cam signing a contract, but that one-year deal is with New England, of all teams, social media does what social media does. It starts speculating and photoshopping. And next thing you know, ODB is all over social in nautical blue, red, and silver. You know, because for years, Pats fans have been beating that drum. For years, Pats fans have had ODB coming to town to join TB43. Then that dream died, and that dream was forgotten because the old man busted out for Tampa Bay. But again, a new dream has begun, and it's an overdrive with Cam, because Cam is there. Because it wasn't just your typical chouds, your typical diehard Pats fans who were tweeting at Beckham with their visions of him balling with Cam and with the hood. It wasn't just diehard Patriot fans. It wasn't just anonymous eggs. It was people who matter, and not just media types. People who matter. Blue check types, like a former All-Star and a current MLB-er, Dodgers pitcher Alex Wood. Yeah, you heard me correctly. Former All-Star and current LA Dodgers pitcher Alex Wood jumped into action. He was tweeting at Odell. Wood tweeted, quote, at OBJ, to the Patriots, before the season is done, bank it. And a tweet. All right, so if you know anything about Alex Wood, you know that his best pitch is that sinker. It's a great sinker. Except my man's best stuff here online didn't have any movement whatsoever. No movement. Because Odell decided to respond. And that may as well have been Alex Wood a few feet off to the side, sitting on a big old container, soft tossing with OBJ. Because by respond, I mean he teed it up and he styled it off of his timeline with a perfect response. OBJ tweeted in response to Alex Wood, quote, you can find me in the land, homie. We got unfinished business. And it's wheat. Alex, you can bank that. You can find me in the land, homie. That is good. That is really strong. Really strong. Like I said, this was not just some anonymous egg he hit that with. That was not some diehard Patriot fan. That was a major leaguer. A major leaguer who's a former All-Star, who's got a real look at winning a championship ring this year. So for Twitter responses, that was like Pujols versus Brad Lidge in terms of rebuttals. Like, that one's still traveling. That one's still sailing. So good. Couple things here. Number one, Patriots fans, sorry, he ain't going anywhere. He's not coming to you. Number two, Browns fans, how'd that taste? How'd that feel? How's that make you feel? How's that for loyalty? You know, all that speculation about maybe he and Baker weren't on the same page. He went there, it was a big mistake. That sounds pretty emphatic. Like, my man wants to be in the land. My man says he's got unfinished business in the land. Unfinished business to take care of. Hell yes. I love how you all just think, because everything did not go planned the way it was planned last year, that this dude would just bail. Just quit, bail, bounce, and leave. He doesn't need a new quarterback. He's already got one. A quarterback in Baker Mayfield, who's motivated and talented and still has the goods. I'm telling you, this team's talent is freaking insane. The Browns' talent is freaking insane. And make no mistake, Odell is still the most talented player they have. Like, you don't want to give this guy credit, but he's a special kind of talent. A Hall of Fame, generational kind of talent. And the best part, he's healthy. By all reports, he has fully recovered from his offseason core surgery and ready to ball. That's the biggest thing. If, in fact, reports are true and he is healthy, that is the biggest thing. Look, like I said, I love New England taking that flyer on Cam. There's no downside. There's no risk. They got the guy for walk-around money. They got him for nothing. That's a brilliant move by the Pats. I love that move. I even actually like it for Cam. I mean, Richard Sherman's right when he says it's disgusting that they got a former number one pick overall and a former MVP and Super Bowl participant for that kind of money. He's right. I mean, it is disgusting. But that was what the market said. And I think Cam's making the right decision. I think that's a great spot for him. So I love that move. I love it for the Pats. I love it for Cam. But I still love Odell on the land even better. So again, yes, I'm still riding with these guys. Yes, I'll say it again. Watch the hell out. If there is football and it's consistent, America's team is coming. They have unfinished business. We have unfinished business because I'm still riding with these guys. We all have unfinished business. That was a great response by ODB. I loved it. Loved it. He's not going there. So, if I want to play this game, who is the team to beat now in the AFC East? Is it still the Bills or is it the Patriots? There is one thing kind of curious. Ross Tucker touched on this. When there were all these questions about Cam Newton, like, why is nobody calling Cam? Why is nobody calling Cam? And I was saying, I think the guy looks great. And I think the guy seems like he's in the right space mentally. Like, he's hungry as hell. If you look at his Instagram feed, you can see it. He's going hard. But still, until he was signed, everybody was saying the reason he's not being signed is because nobody can bring him in for a physical. Because he's got that bad shoulder. He's got an even worse foot. And then all of a sudden, when the deal is done for 1 year and it's incentive-based, all of a sudden now everybody's like, oh, they're the team to beat. They're the team to beat in the AFC. They're going back. What happened to all those concerns that I've heard for 3 months, every single day, all day? Now it's not a concern? It's a good gamble by the Pats. I don't even need to see a medical report to say I think it's a good gamble because they're not venturing anything. If it doesn't work out, they cut him. It's fine. Nothing ventured, nothing lost. If it does work out, they may win the East. They may be an elite team once again. He may have reinvented himself. They may have their quarterback of the future, and it may not be Stiddy. I love it. Just know that if they're going to get it done, they're getting it done without ODB. Because he has unfinished business. He's in the land, homie. Where he belongs, and more importantly, where he wants to be. When we return, Falcon safety, Keanu Neal, Quick reminder, you know how that goes. You know, he might not be there right on time. There may be an opportunity for you to call and get on the air. So if you want to do that, you should do it right now. Here is a sports update for you. Here is the anchor of that update, Rich Ackerman.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Welcome back. Moving right through it. Bottom of hour number three. I am Jim Rome. If you're on hold, there may be time on the back end. Do not hang up. But as promised, we are joined by a safety for the Atlanta Falcons. He is a Pro Bowler, a PFWA All-Rookie Team member, more than 200 tackles, an interception, 8 forced fumbles, 3 fumble recoveries, and 15 passes defensed in his first two seasons. He is entering his fifth NFL season. He was the 17th pick overall in 2016 out of Florida. Keanu Neal is my guest. Keanu, it's great to have you on. There's a lot I want to talk to you about, but before we get into any of this, first of all, how are you and everybody around you doing in this very, very unusual time?
Hey, Jim, thanks for having me, man. It's been different. Everyone's doing well. No one's came down with COVID, thank God, but yeah, you know, it's a crazy time. You know, staying safe, kind of staying away from each other, but staying as close as we can with technology and all those good things. So, you know, it's been pretty crazy.
No, I hear that. It has been really crazy, and even more amazing in the sense you got married during quarantine. So, what was the original plan for your wedding, and then how did you adjust it?
Right. So, we were planning on getting married in Miami. We're going to have, you know, a big ceremony with, you know, close to, you know, 150 people and everything. But as soon as we were about to get married around a week before, which we were supposed to get married March 28th, about a week or two before, everything started to ramp up and then they started closing things down. So we had to make decisions. But ultimately, we ended up getting married in my hometown church in Groveland, Florida, and we had about 10 of our immediate family there. So it was different, but it was really awesome. It turned out to be a great time.
Keanu Neal is my guest. That's nice. So what about married life? How's that treating you so far?
Oh man, I love it. It's awesome, man. It's not much different than being engaged or anything like that. But you know, it's cool knowing that you got somebody on your side that's really for you.
No doubt. Now, listen, your journey really is something. Like, if we were to go back a little bit, your first two seasons were absolutely enormous in the NFL, all rookie team, Pro Bowl. And then in 2018, you suffered a torn ACL in the season opener. What was that experience like?
It was tough. It was tough. I never would have thought going into the season that I would go through that, you know, with the ACL and everything. And the rehab was hard, but, you know, I stuck through it and made it through. But then, you know, obviously the Achilles last year, you know, that really hit hard. So going through two season-ending injuries like that was really difficult. But, you know, with God and everyone around me supporting me and, you know, my the plan that I have rehab-wise, you know, I'm feeling great. So it was definitely tough, but, you know, I'm glad to be back.
I mean, it's certainly part of the game, Keanu, but like, I think the fans, and I've been bringing this up more and more with athletes, they just don't know. They don't understand. Like, guys get hurt, they go away, they put the time in, they come back, and you don't really understand what goes into it physically and mentally. Like, for the ACL, because you had never been hurt like that before, what was that like physically and mentally to do that work every single day and then to come back? Since we never see you when you go away and you put in that time.
Oh, man, it's 9 to 12 months of just continuous work. You know, you go from being 100% moving around, doing everything you want to do when you want to do it, to being stabilized and not being able to move and do things, and having to learn how to walk again, and learning the mechanics of running and all these things. And it's a day-to-day process. And that's the hardest thing to do, is to see things day by day instead of trying to look at the big picture and trying to get to the finish line so fast, you know, slowing down and really taking it day by day, that's the hardest thing to do. And you have to do that with these kind of injuries, because if not, it'll drive you crazy. Like, there were times where I was just, you know, it puts you in a dark place. It puts you in a tough spot where you want to just be where you were so quick. But, you know, it's a process. It takes time. But it teaches you lessons, you know, to learn to trust the process and to not try to get to the finish line so quick and to take it day by day. So it's a lot that goes into it, for sure.
I think that's an amazing explanation. Like, you did a video series too for the Falcons, which I thought was really powerful, where you talk about, if you play the game for a while and you never suffer a serious injury, you start to think that, you know, maybe I'm different, maybe I'm invincible, and then you suffer an injury like that. So what's that do to your perspective? That when the thing that you love is ripped from you like that, and all of a sudden you know that you can have it taken from you, what's that do for your love of the game and your perspective?
Oh, man, it makes you appreciate a lot more. You know, you going through the game, there's times where, you know, that you take things for granted. I mean, we're human. It happens. You know, you expect, like, going into the season, like, you know, you expect that things are going to go a certain way, and you plan on them going a certain way. So when, shoot, I lost football for 2 years straight, and it really taught me to really enjoy the moment and not take things for granted, not take practices, not take, you know, meetings and the things that become routine, you know, over the time, to not take those things, you know, for granted, and to really, really enjoy them and enjoy the process and the journey leading up to things. So
Keanu Neal is joining us. I mean, all those things you're probably like, we're thinking, what a drag, man. This is kind of boring. This is getting kind of old. And then all of a sudden you realize it's all like an opportunity. It's like a gift. It's a good thing. I get to be a part of these things because you went through it twice. And then earlier this month, you post a video of yourself and you're doing drills, and they look really, really smooth. In fact, you look like yourself. Was there a moment in the process where you felt like yourself again and knew that everything would be okay and I'm back?
A few weeks ago, I've been starting to really get excited because I've started to feel like myself again. But I mean, it's still a process. It's still a growing thing where I got to keep putting the work in just to make sure everything stays right and I'm good to go. But yeah, I've been feeling good for a little bit now, and it's definitely exciting because I get an opportunity to go back out and play again with the guys and the team and, you know, with the organization and everything. So it's definitely a blessing, especially coming off two injuries like this. So I'm so excited, man.
Now, your older brother, Clinton Hart, played in the league. How much did you learn from watching him growing up?
I learned a lot. He made it to the league the hard way. You know, he never played college ball, and he went to arena ball and then got picked up by the Eagles and made a career out of it. You know, played 9 years, 8 to 9 years. So, you know, he definitely taught me a lot. He taught me resilience and to fight through things and to never give up. You know, growing up watching him on TV and stuff, he really gave me hope and gave me an image, because I'm from a small town. We're all from a small town, west of Florida, where you don't see that too often. So him making it and him being in the family really helped me out a lot.
Falcon safety, Keanu Neal, is my guest. And then he played with Brian Dawkins, and there's a lot of Brian Dawkins in your game in terms of physicality. Like, what did you learn from watching Doc play?
He's relentless. You know, he's a different dude on the field, and that's the coolest thing to see, is that, you know, what he does on the field, he doesn't take it off, and he's so just mild-mannered off the field, you know, God-fearing, down to earth. But like I said, when he goes on the field, he's just a different dude, and that's pretty unique. That's pretty cool to see.
Keanu Neal, my guest for a few more moments. That is, I mean, he is one of those guys, like, you talk to him off the field, he's nothing like he is on the field, where he takes care of his business. And then you yourself are returning to a secondary that's got a lot of talent at safety, And because of your physicality, there's been talk of you maybe spending some more time down in the box. How much would that change your approach if you're closer to the line of scrimmage? Do your responsibilities change?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Personally, I'm just excited to get back, and I'm glad I got an opportunity to get back on the field coming off these two injuries. So wherever I play is, you know, I'm gonna give 110 no matter what. So, you know, I'm just thankful for the opportunity.
All right, so when you look at the roster right now, I'm sure that, you know, there's a lot of other teams in your division getting a lot of run right about now. I know you're not really paying attention to that. You're focused on your own work. But at the same time, when you look at the talent that you have on your roster, how good can this team be this season?
Oh, man, we have so much talent. We added guys through free agency, through the draft, and, you know, the people we already had on the team. You know, very talented group, and I think the sky's the limit for us. You know, I think, you know, we put it together. We got a great shot. So I'm excited to get back out there. Like I said, I missed 2 years, so I'm ready to get back with the guys and start heading towards where we need to go.
The setback setting up a much bigger comeback. He is a Pro Bowler and entering his fifth NFL season. Keanu Neal, my guest. Keanu, appreciate the story. Appreciate you coming on the program. Thank you so much. I'll be looking forward to seeing how you look out there. Good to talk to you.
Hey, Jim, thanks so much, man.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. He missed 2 years. And as I mentioned, when he came into the NFL, he had a couple of amazing years and was just killing it. And then suffered two dramatic injuries and has battled all the way back and ready to resume. Keanu Neal, my guest. All right, as I mentioned, sometimes there is time on the back end, and there is. 1-800-636-8686. I'm working this week, and then I'm off the next 2 weeks. Good news is I just looked at the weather in Wisconsin during the break. Rain every day next week. You didn't tell me about that in the dew point. All I got was my dew point. Good news is, it's going to rain where I am, but it's going to be 85 while it's raining. Let's see. Checking out the reaction. Hey, Rome. It's hip to be square. Regards, Kyle Brandt's head.
It's hip to be square.
Steven PHX. Benefit of my guy. One, he's really freaking smart. And two, he was a running back in college. Let's go to the phones. Dexter in Kansas. You made it in, Dexter. What's up?
Hey, I was actually in Missouri. Kansas City, Missouri. It's all good, man. Good to talk to you. I just don't get your vitriol towards Huey Lewis. I mean, it's just pop music, man. What makes people happy? I mean, Rise Against, you know, you call them the greatest band in the world. I thought that was kind of nutty. And I know you're trolling people about the Who. I mean, come on, dude. I'm out.
Dexter, bro, like I said, you're all entitled to your taste or take, but did you just tell me that the Who sucked, but Huey Lewis is awesome? Dexter, there isn't a person dead or alive not named you that thinks that Huey Lewis is better than the Who. Let's not start going down that road, Broham. And I'm not even saying that, like, you're like, I don't get your vitriol. I don't have any vitriol about that. I just said they suck. I don't have enough energy. I don't care enough to work my way up to vitriol about Huey Lewis. I just said they suck. How about this? I prefer not to listen to their bad music. Does that work better for you? He's like, I thought it was nutty when you said Rise Against was the best band in the world. Anything you say to me about music after you say that Huey Lewis is great and you have Ritz back is going to fall upon deaf ears. And especially when you start to mention The Who in the same sentence. I mean, what are you going to tell me next, dude? Hey, man, I'll tell you what, Rome. I know that you talked to Robert Plant once, but don't you ever mention Led Zeppelin in the same sentence with Huey Lewis. What's next? Huey Lewis and the News are better than the Beatles? Better than the Stones? Better than The Who? Better than Rise Against? Better than any other band at all? Come on, man. You take your little battle of Huey Lewis versus Styx and go fight that off in the corner, all right? Stop bringing me down with your terrible music takes. Damn, Ritt, this is your fault. This is really your fault, Ritt. Romy, that's an H for Huey. Mark it down.
Mark it down.
Regards, Ike. It's hip to be square. Let's go out back and play a game of Huey. The Y for the win. My thanks to Dave Clawson, Wake Forest head coach, Ross Tucker, Keanu Neal. Huge call brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. I mean, the conversation used to be, hey, Rolling Stones or The Who? That's a legitimate debate. Now, apparently, the debate is Huey Lewis or The Who? Huey Lewis or Mick Jagger? Yeah, I know. That's pretty polarizing. Huey or Mick? Huey or Bono? Damn, Ritt. Way to go, Ritt. Nice job, Ritt. Grab another Rice Krispie, Ritt. Now I'm done. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. Rock. Now I'm done.